blessings to you in Jesus' name. Hope all is good with you and yours. There are a lot of things being said in the world today that aren't true. They don't line up with the Word of God. They say things that sound good to them or things that fit a demonic narrative. There's the Word of God and what man says. People of today believe that what they say is right. Even if it doesn't line up with God's Word, they'll say they're right. In their eyes, they're right. They will argue. They will persecute you if there's any type of disagreement with what they're saying or what they believe. We, as children of God, must stand with Him and His Word no matter what. Stand with God. Stand with Jesus no matter what. Oh, they will come after you. But we're told in the Word to be of good cheer, for Jesus has overcome the world. Reference John 16:33 for that one. We are reminded in Isaiah 55:8 when he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." Doesn't that sound like two views, two ways? God's view and not God's view? Let's get into our field for the week and take a look at this very thing that took place in Jesus' time as well. May the Lord reveal himself to you as we study. So let's go to Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to be going through verses 13 through 21st. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Now, look at the different people that they said who Jesus was. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You see, John the Baptist was sent to pave the way, right? He came before Jesus, but he let people know, though I came before him, I'm after him. He was before me. Elijah, he was in the time of Ahab's wife, Jezebel. Remember, Jezebel said a thing, and Elijah ran to the cave and hid. And then Jeremiah was a prophet during the 70 years of captivity. And there are many other prophets who did things for the Lord. But none, and I mean absolutely none of these great men of God was like Jesus. None of them did what Jesus did according to his cup that he had to drink. Just as in those times, people of today don't know who Jesus is. They guess and they say things like, "Well, my Jesus wouldn't say or do that." Or, "Well, my Jesus says that I can be me." Or, "Jesus loves you and your sin." They put Jesus in a man-made or manly box of what he can and can't do according to what? Their view, according to their narrative. Nonsense, children of God. That's nonsense. Jesus is the Christ, and there is no one like him, no matter how the world presents their worldly view of him. Don't be deceived by their cute words or their doctorate degrees. Jesus is the only one who can save us from sin. Verse 15 and 16, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Hallelujah. Jesus is very clear. There is no confusion whatsoever where this answer came from. He said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this truth, but his Father in heaven revealed it to Peter." You see, man can guess, and he's guessing what he thinks is true, and he's completely wrong. But the Lord God knows, and he reveals what's true, just like in this instance. They were saying Jesus was John the Baptist, Elijah, and all these other different prophets. Their Father God reveals to Peter, this is Jesus, the Son of God. This is the Christ. How did Peter know? Well, we're reading right here. Father God revealed the truth to him. Don't always go by what man is saying, because man's guessing all the time. He's always guessing. But Jesus knows. How about this? Also, Jesus doesn't allow man to get the glory that belongs to his Father. See, he says it like this in Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. We as his children must follow his example and not give man the praise or the glory that belongs to the Lord God. Amen. Verse 18 and 19. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So there's a little note at the end of this teaching on loosing and binding, and I'll save that for that time. But no matter, children of God, no matter how demonic the world has become through man, with his greed for power, money, status, lust, Jesus says the gates of Hades shall not prevail against his church. Don't forget that part right there. Jesus says his church, not man's church, Jesus' church. You see, because Jesus isn't talking about those false churches out there. You know, the ones who say with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. Remember when Jesus turned over money tables, among other things, in the temple at that time? There are churches in the world today that he would not turn over a thing. Why? Because they are not, in his sight, his Father's house. There's the key. Is this his Father's house in his sight? Are they doing godly things? Are they doing things that represent Jesus? Or are they all about man and tradition? Are they leaving Jesus out? Jesus said his church. You see, his name may be on the building, or they may put an advertising up that says Jesus, but they are saying the opposite of what he is saying. They are doing the opposite of what Jesus says to do. Children of God, beware of them. Red flag, run away. Get away from that. Because they are mentioned in the Word of God as what? Wolf in sheep's clothing. And false teachers and prophets. Amen. Verse 20. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. So what do we see here? He gave them a command. He gave them direction. He gave them he expected something from them. You see, his will be done, not theirs. Come on, you guys know how excited we can get. We want to share things with other people. We just want to say, hey, I just want to tell you about this. Well, you might want to check with the Lord first before you talk about it. Here's a question. Could it be that he has a time and a place for that thing to be revealed? Amen. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 16, still in 16, verse 21 through 28. Verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Now, Jesus, again, is crystal clear of what must take place. Would you agree that Jesus knows everything and how it's going to happen? Would you agree with that? Amen. Jesus is the same one who spoke a thing and then it happened just as he said it would. Why would this be any different? You see, Jesus knows that he must suffer die and be raised the third day for us. Jesus is talking about fulfilling what he was sent to do by Father God. There is more at stake here than the human understanding can fathom. Jesus said he must go to Jerusalem. He must go to Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, children of God, that's where it's going to go down. That's where it's going down. Jesus is about to give himself a ransom that we may be saved and reconciled to the Father for his blood being shed for our sins. Verse 22. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." Oh my goodness. Here we go. Here we go with man's understanding and how he sees things. You see, Peter, it looks bad. And maybe he doesn't want the Lord to suffer, or he doesn't want to go down this way. But guess what, children of God? It is not relevant how or what Peter believes at this point. Because this moment is greater than Peter understands. The word says that Peter rebuked Jesus. Hang on. Let me read that again. It says, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. You guys, Peter rebuked Jesus. Let's see what Merriam-Webster's dictionary says about the word rebuke. It says, to criticize sharply, reprimand, to turn back or keep down, an expression of strong disapproval. Now think about that last one, strong disapproval. Think about criticizing sharply. Think about reprimanding. Now, can you imagine doing this to the one and only Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, who was sent to die for our sins? Man, Peter, you're getting in the way of my personal salvation, brother. So now Peter knows more than Jesus does? I mean, Peter said, this shall not happen to you. Did Father God reveal something to Peter without talking to his son Jesus first? Not a chance. Not a chance. Peter's leaning on his own understanding. You see, we believers of today, we do the same thing. We go against the will of God not knowing. This is the will of God, that his son gives himself for sin to be raised the third day, that we might be reconciled to the Father for all eternity. And this guy, Peter, a disciple, by the way, has the audacity to rebuke the Lord Jesus for something that must take place. You see, just like Peter, we don't know everything. Just because it looks a certain way doesn't mean that's what we see. Could it be by design that this is going to happen this way? Absolutely. Unblemished blood of the Lamb must be shed for the remission of sins. Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one and only who can do this. Children of God, be careful not to go against God as Peter tried here. Pray that God's will be done. Don't be moved by what you see. Trust in Jesus. He knows exactly what he's doing. Pray that we see it as Jesus sees it. Verse 23. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Here we are again. Two views. Mindful of the things of God and the things of men. Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me." You see, the enemy used one of Jesus' own disciples to speak against him. We're reading it right here, are we not? What Peter said was demonic, led, and influenced. We must be careful that the enemy doesn't use us against Jesus. we got to be mindful of the things of God and not the things of men. Because when we're mindful of the things of men, we're going to forget about God. See, Peter was not mindful of the things of God, but he was mindful of the things of men, saying, this won't happen. This can't go down this way. Jesus was about to suffer and be crucified for us. But Peter didn't want to go down that way. You see, we say things like, it's too violent, or it's not right, or that's not right. Well, I ask you, in whose sight is it violent? In whose sight is it not right? The Lord's or yours? Father God knows exactly what he's doing. Could these things in the world today be happening for the will of God to manifest? Just could it be? Could it be this rough for the will of God to happen? Amen. And we're going to close it up with Matthew 16:19. And so if you want to learn how to use the kingdom keys that Jesus mentioned in Matthew 16:19, which says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Well, get your free copy of Kingdom Keys. You can download it in a PDF at www.fueledbytheword.com. Click on Downloads, click on Devotionals, and then click on Kingdom Keys for a free copy. Add it to the cart, download it for free. Amen. May the Lord God bless you, keep you. God's will be done in you and your loved ones' lives. May his word cover, lead, and protect you and yours, that you will be bold for Jesus and stand with him and his word. Blessings to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Tyron, signing off.